Get ready, get set for the best movie and pop culture talk in the universe. It's the Good Brothers on Mercado Airwaves with your hosts, Alex Mercado and Mike Mercado.
Welcome back to the Good Brothers, folks. That's Mike, I'm Alex, and it is March Madness. We are in the full swing of things. We got the games on the TV in the studio. Mike, tell us what we're going to talk about today.
Alex, we have a jam-packed show. We have trailers galore on this episode, and we also preview a big hit that's coming out this weekend in theaters. And of course, we get to do the first round of Gen 1's March Madness Pokemon bracket. Alex, before we get into all that, we have the games on the background right now here in the studio. We went to a high school that really encouraged watching March Madness because their big goal was to get a lot of students into college. So this was a great way to expose them. I get nostalgic for March Madness, not just because I'm a sports fan and it does great for the sports ratings, but it takes me back to going to the lunchroom or walking through the foyer or the hallways and having all the televisions on with March Madness. Do you kind of have the same? Was it like that for you guys by the time you got
up? Yeah. And I think it's only gotten better and better because I think you're right. It is one of those, you know, like go to college. Like, this is a good experience to, you know, have your university represented. Like look at the city of Chicago last year with Loyola.
Loyola, yeah.
And how big that really was and how people were like, mm-hmm. I really want to go watch this game. Yeah, I may have not gone to Loyola, but that's the hometown.
Do you remember
like this year, obviously, we don't really have a representation.
Bradley, but that's Peoria, and they've gone through a lot of bullshit
with them. Yeah, I mean, DePaul back in the day, yeah. U of I was a Final Four team.
When I was in high school freshman and you were a few years into middle school, the Illini, U of I, with D. Brown,
and that
Darren
was
Williams,
huge,
was
yeah.
Ahead. It's huge.
Everyone had jerseys, mm-hmm. and we had posters.
And they lost to North Carolina in the NCAA championship game. So we're big fans here of the bracket. Alex is one of those guys who I love what he says here. He loves as the tournament goes on because he likes to see the better teams of that year
go at it. You're the opposite.
I'm the opposite. I'm the guy who I enjoy the first few rounds because everybody's in it. There's games the first 2 weeks. There's games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Everybody has a chance. But it's a reason why I think you and I also like it because it's the beginning of baseball season. It's the end of the NBA season.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, like now we're getting to the NBA playoffs, which I love the NBA playoffs.
NBA playoffs is
amazing. I think they do a great job on ABC and ESPN to really push that.
Yeah.
Cubs baseball's coming up
for White Sox
college
fans,
football,
with
the draft, like the real exciting stuff.
We're
it's getting
it.
Nice out.
Yep.
We're going to Cubs games.
Yep.
Mike went to a Bulls game.
Last night
I didn't know that was a thing anymore.
And if you watch this past episode of Sports from Our Couch, a live edition, we're doing some new stuff there on the program along with the network.
Yeah.
We were able to do a live bracket. So we will also do a bracket live on this show, the first round. This will continue on through the rest of the month of March and a little bit into April. But if you guys are wondering too, just to guys give you a little timestamp, we are watching number 14 seed Yale take on the number 3 seed LSU. It is the second quarter with just a little under a minute and a half left, 62-68. Alex, it is starting fast already in the first round. We have a close game between two big seeds and two very known universities.
Yeah,
so
and I think it's fun because I think some people would say, well, this isn't a sports show. Well, I think when it comes to the NCAA tournament,
It's
kind of like everyone does a bracket at work. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so easy to be like, okay, let's do a $5 bracket. You don't have to know the names. You can be like, you know what? I went to Michigan. Yeah. I'm going to pick Michigan. Or I like the Big Ten. I'm going to go with Minnesota.
Everybody does it.
Like, everyone does it. You don't, and I think that's where I do like it. You don't have to be an expert. Because to be fair, like, no matter how good you are, like, Mike, you're a professional.
Right.
You could have the worst bracket out of everyone.
Right.
Because there's really no logic sometimes to these seeds and. You know, like I said, when there's 64 teams, a lot is going to go through. Like, LSU can win the whole thing at a third seed.
Yeah,
that means they were better than, what, 10 other teams?
And it's a one-game elimination, I think you said it perfectly, Alex. So for all you enjoying the tournament, enjoy the rest of this month of March and the championship game in April. But, Alex, we have a jam-packed show, so hopefully you have us on in the background as you're watching the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, watch us more.
Yeah, watch us or listen to us as you watch the games. But, Alex, why don't we start off with our friends over at Pixar and Disney. We will start off with the Toy Story 3 trailer. Toy Story 4. I am so sorry. I love Toy Story 3 so much. Seeing this trailer brought up a lot of conversation that you're seeing.
Well, yeah, we'll get back to that
because this is
what I discuss the whole.
Yes.
Is it worth? Well, let's talk the trailer first.
So let's go trailer first. I'm glad you brought that up because it was on top of the mind of the conversation between 3 and 4. But this trailer on its own. Let's say we didn't have 3 and the conclusion of 3. What did you think about this trailer?
I like the trailer a lot because I mean, Pixar doesn't put out bad trailers, people.
Right, right.
I like Bo Peep. Mike thinks Bo Peep might be the bad guy. I don't think so.
Or it's a swerve, at the least.
You think it's a swerve, bro? I don't think it's a swerve, bro. Mm. But whatever, like, that'll be fun. Mm. I like it. It's got the heart, you know. Tom Hanks puts that whole line of, like, I love that line where, what was it? It was, you know, my whole goal in life is to take care of a kid, and it's never been this hard.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, Tom Hanks, that hit us all pretty deep right there. Like, that whole, I think it's a, maybe, like, now we're getting to the point of, like, now the college is over, we're all a little older again.
Yep.
Where now it's work.
Yep.
Now we're it's Woody. Family. We're not Andy anymore. Yeah. We're Woody. Yeah. And it's like, dude, this is my job, but it's getting hard. And it's getting harder to maintain my job on a normal basis. So I think that's where we're going to relate to Woody now. It's right. Like, now we're not looking as a kid and as our toys. We're looking more as a, well, we're Woody now, and his job is to be great to kids. And we all have jobs where it's like, man, there's some days it's just hard to get up and do your job.
See, this is what I appreciate about the Toy Story lore and the movies, because what I got from it was more along the lines of things are hard because you're not young anymore. It's like you're raising kids. You thought you had the answers, and then you realize, like, it's a lot harder. Mm-hmm. Like, I take it from, you thought you had the answers that your parents used to do, and then you realize, like, no, they didn't have the answers. I don't have the answers. You're learning as you go on. So I think we give the trailer a passing grade. I mean, I think we're getting a lot of good ones.
The weird thing is we don't get a big time jump in this because obviously Bonnie's still very young, so we might get a year,
and
maybe
she's not
two.
The bad guy in this movie. A lot of people were talking about that. There was some talk that she was going to be, like, mistreating the toys.
No, I think more that she's a common kid where, you know, like, their attention spans are
different. Andy found Buzz, and he loved Woody, so
and that's
part
why he
of
doesn't
the
make
story.
Him the bad guy.
Exactly.
No, see, like, I don't know what the bad thing is going
to
be.
I like the Forky storyline, though. The fact that he wants to throw himself out, that he wants
he wasn't created for that. He's going for soup or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think it looks fun. I like the Slappy Dolls.
Yes.
Like from Goosebumps. Like, I love those.
They were legit creepy in this.
Yeah, I like Bo Peep being a badass. Yeah. I it's one of those movies it's honestly the trailer for part 3 where you're like, you're not gonna get it until you watch it. And then maybe their trailer will look better because Pixar, Disney in general, Star Wars, Marvel Studios, they do a great job of really swerving the trailers a little bit where you're like, I think this is the movie is going to be about, but you're like, oh, it's not about that. Never mind.
So let's go ahead and hit the elephant in the room.
Is it necessary?
Is it necessary? We're on we know what happened with part 3. We're now here in part 4. What are your initial thoughts? We knew this movie was coming, but now that you're seeing it, that it's done, it's out there, we're going to see it. What are your feelings?
See, I have two sides of it. One, yes, Toy Story 1 through 3 is probably one of the best trilogies ever. On the list with Star Wars, the originals, Indiana Jones. But here's the problem why I just said that. Indiana Jones ruined their trilogy by adding the Crystal Skull.
Sure.
Is Toy Story going to do the same? I don't think so. I think Toy Story will come out and this will be one of those things where we're like, this is the first quadrilogy that really just is so good. Like, all four are perfect movies. Like, how do you end it? Because, like, the end of part 3 was so perfect. It's like, how do you really end it? Like, are you really going to show us these toys being turned off or destroyed or put in the attic? Or are you just going to leave it open even more for, like, well, we can do part 5 one day. And I think that's more of the path, if you're going down this path, to leave it like that. I'd rather you leave it open and be like, well, maybe we come back in 20 years and they're antiques. And now things have changed. Because you got to think, in the movie, since it hasn't been a big time jump, they really haven't introduced iPads or the modern child.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll be like, you know how Wreck-It Ralph did it very well, where they went from arcade, so like, okay, now we're on the internet.
Yeah, right.
And I think that works, and I think Pixar could take that from Disney and be like, okay, one day we could do a movie about, well, no one plays with toys anymore. Like, toys aren't a thing, really, unless it's stuffed animals for infants. And, you know, even then, we look at babies today, and, like, a lot of it is child development games. And I'll give them this. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying, you know, it's smart, like Kelsey and Lewis. Like, you know, you find out these crazy things kids can do on iPads where it's helping them learn. Yeah. Or Peppa Pig, you know. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm not one of those people saying, whoa, no, technology's ruining it. Like, no, who cares? Like, if that saves parents money, and that helps kids develop, and you don't have to buy a million toys or go and get the garbage, why is that a bad thing? Because it's different. We're not those people. Different doesn't mean bad all the time, you know? Different sometimes is for an improvement. Like, look at medicine. Obviously, different was an improvement.
And it's interesting that you bring that up, though. I do think it may not Look, we can live in a reality in which both of these things are true. The original trilogy, 1, 2, and 3 of Toy Story are amongst the best.
Perfect.
You can live in a world where we don't need a part 4. But there's no rule that says we don't. There is no definitive ending of part 3. This story could be told on for generations. It's about toys. And guess what has never gone away? From little wooden sticks to where we're at right now with iPads, that you have to still buy toys to put them onto your iPad to create the digital version
Amiibos.
Of it. Yeah, thank you. Amiibos or like these come-to-life toys. Toys. Toys exist forever.
And it's the lessons behind the...
That never change.
And it's not just about the toys. The lesson of, okay, what part one's about, okay, jealousy and learning to adapt to change. And then part two is more... Where you stand, what's your purpose at the end of the day? Like, do you want to be A, do you want to be B, going down that bridge? And part three really is the terms of, like, you know, getting older. And what do I do with that? And do I still push for this or do I go with the times? And part four seems like it's the same. The message is always clear of what do you do in this scenario?
I think this one's going to be about in today's day and age where we have people that – feel different. They don't feel themselves in their own body. They feel like they're somebody else. I think that's what you're going to see with the Sporky character, in which he's a character that, or she's a character that feels one way.
I think it's he. It's a boy.
But that's the thing, though.
I forgot the voice of it, yeah. But a very famous comedian.
So to me, it's just one of those things where they're just, again, typing into the zeitgeist of what teenagers, young kids, and adults are feeling today. But I'm excited to see what they do with Toy Story 4. I trust the team behind this, and at the very least, the talent behind it should give itself the leeway to
like this
to
could it. Be one of those perfect things where part four is perfect, and then by the time we have kids, they're on part 6 or 7, and maybe it's one of these where, like, listen, guys, like, we don't want to just make a trilogy; we want to make this movie for every generation because we feel the lessons are still continuous. And yeah, like we don't always have to jump 10 years.
Right,
part 1 and 2 jumped a year, and then obviously 2 and 3 jumped 10 years. But then 3 and 4 only jumped a year. So, like, you can keep doing that pattern of, like, okay, let's just jump another year. Now Bonnie's 18 by part 5.
Right.
Okay, now what are we going to do? You know, they go back to the daycare and then they find a new kid or something. Or maybe the whole, like, you know what, living in the attic as long as we're together sort of thing. We're like, you know, we're more collecting dust, but we're family aspect. Because that's another big one is the family aspect of these toys.
Well, as long as you have the talent behind them and the love of these characters from these creators, there's always the possibility that not only are we going to get another movie, but that it can live up to its lineage that's already presented. But Alex, we'll definitely keep our eyes on Toy Story 4. We obviously love it in this family. It makes a huge run every single time we talk about it as one of the top tier trilogies and movies individually. But any last thoughts before we close the toy chest for a few weeks?
No, that's probably my favorite Pixar movie. Fair enough. And in general, I think Toy Story 3 is my favorite Pixar movie. Sure. I'd say of all the Toy Stories, I think that one... Because we grew up with them. So by the time Toy Story 3 came out, I think I was 18.
Okay.
So I got the perfect age of, like...
I agree. I think Toy Story is probably...
Like, that's my favorite one, I think. I think it's the funniest. Yeah. I think it's got the most adult humor, and they really swing for a lot of things. And I like the swerves, and I like the Barbie. Like, Ken is one.
Yeah.
He's great.
But they're all great.
I'm excited. You know, Keanu Reeves is in this movie. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about Keanu Reeves being a voice in this Toy Story 4, so that's also exciting. But, no, yeah, I'm excited. Like, we're going to see it opening night. If not before, you know.
But moving on, Alex, some more Hollywood royalty comes through because we got a trailer with a certain Leonardo DiCaprio and a Brad Pitt from a certain director in Quentin Tarantino in a new Tarantino flick, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Now, is this a trailer or a teaser? I can't tell the difference. It's a short trailer.
Right. In today's day and age, they're all trailers. And I think that it was a teaser. Now, let me ask you this. Everybody was bashing the poster because the poster was so basic.
It's not legendary.
It's just a poster.
Who hangs up posters anymore that aren't in the professionals?
Yeah, unless you have a studio. Yeah, like that's the only
thing. Like, it's all about phone backgrounds now and laptop backgrounds and iPad backgrounds.
And as we continue on, I also want to shout out to everybody. Alex and I have the Yale-LSU game going on, and Yale refuses to go down. They have hit, like, 4 straight three-pointers, and the game is over. Now, I will say this about the trailer, though, itself, Alex. It does obviously have the Tarantino dust on it. It obviously has the star power.
Okay, let's call spade a spade. This trailer teaser, let's call it short trailer.
Yeah.
This short trailer was purely to say Quentin Tarantino's back.
And here's Sunit.
And here's Brad Pitt, Leo, Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
And, oh, wait, Bruce Lee's come to the movie. Sharon Tate.
Yeah.
Like, I get what they try to do. Like, I think I'm not, like, stoked, because at this point, we're already pretty high on this movie.
I was going to say, put a bookmark what you're about to say. Let's put the trailer to the side. The trailer isn't going to make you more excited or not. Did the trailer show you what you should be expecting in this movie? Do you have an idea? Because I think we're always...
No.
Tarantino in his own always has a certain hype level.
Yeah.
These actors in a Tarantino movie or in a certain type of thought of movie are always kind of have that energy. But what do you think we're going to get from this movie?
I think we're going to get a classic. I think this movie is going to be one of the best movies of the year and will be an Oscar movie. And that's the problem. It's like the bar's already set so high. This trailer didn't, like, reset the bar. It didn't make it lower or higher.
Sure.
It just didn't do anything. Like, it was literally very pretty. Like, instead of a pretty poster, we got a pretty teaser of, like, sure. Margot Robbie hippie dancing and Brad Pitt doing his Brad Pittisms.
Leo crying.
And Leo being Leo. And, yeah. like, you know, we got them doing their thing. And Quentin Tarantino, like, to me, it was like, okay, if I wasn't hyped about this movie, I don't think I'm any more hyped.
Okay.
But I'm very hyped about it, and I'm not any more hyped. Like, I don't think – I need to see the first trailer. I think when we – I'm always the person. I want to see a little story because right now all I'm seeing is actors being actors.
Sure.
Like, if you didn't tell me it was a Quentin Tarantino, I thought it would just be Leo, Brad Pitt, and Margot Robbie hanging out.
Yeah.
I like the actor that plays Bruce Lee. I think that's great. And the drama, people are saying that it's disrespectful to Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee really did teach stuntmen. That was part of his job. Like that one's more like, well, I don't think you know a lot about Bruce Lee because he trained stuntmen in Hollywood.
As long as an Asian man played Bruce Lee,
thought it looked and sounded just like
great
him.
Great impersonation, impersonation.
Guys, like, I know I love Bruce Lee too. He was very Hollywoodized.
Oh, totally.
And that was great. Like, Alex, he did a lot for Hollywood.
They banned him in his home country because he introduced it to the
United States.
And
guess what? That didn't make him any less of a master martial artist. And
shout out to his son because the Crow is fucking awesome.
You like the Crow?
I love the first
Crow. I guess I'm ruined with the Crow because of all the drama with the Crow the last 70 years.
Oh, yeah. But like that first
Crow. Nah, Jason Momoa would have been my Crow.
Yeah, which would be cool though. But like the Brandon Lee Crow is phenomenal. But Alex, all in all, it's a Tarantino movie. We should expect some form of quality. Whether, you know, to me, the least likable Tarantino film is Hateful Eight.
Really?
And if that's the least, in my opinion, if that's the bottom of it, I know. If that's the bottom of the list, you're in good you're in good hands with this movie.
I think the problem with Hateful Eight is that he went a little too full Tarantino toward the end.
Sure.
With certain scenes and certain things, I'm like, we didn't need that.
But like, I love the cast.
He let Sam Jackson go full Sam Jackson, and I'm like, sometimes we don't need full Sam Jackson.
I think we're gonna have full Sam Jackson this one somewhere.
But it's different. Like, you look at Django. Like, it's very different when you let Sam Jackson go full Sam Jackson. I love Django, but like, it's just different. Like, I think Hateful Eight wasn't the best written movie, but I thought it was very good. I did really like Hateful Eight. I don't think it needed to be so long.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe that's why. Maybe he tried making it the next big movie, and it's like, you could have just made a really, really good movie. And let's be honest, that movie did get nominated like crazy, so it's not like, right, us not like... Like I said, when it comes to Tarantino, it's kind of like saying, well, which six of the Bulls championships was your favorite? Yeah, I don't know. Like, obviously, they won the championship, but I guess 93 or something. Like, I don't know. 97? Yeah. I don't know.
So, Alex, we give it a passing grade?
Yeah, no. It's going to be great. It didn't do any less or more... I guess it did a little more because now we get to see the visuals.
Yeah.
So I guess it hypes me more for Quentin Tarantino than the actors because I'm already pumped for the Oscars.
Yeah.
The actors. And I just love, like you said, it's them doing their thing. It's Margot Robbie being sexy. It's Brad Pitt being charming and sly. Yeah. And it's Leonardo DiCaprio being Leo.
Going full Leo. So we can't wait. We'll keep our eyes and ears on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Maybe the final Quentin Tarantino.
He said he was going to do 10. No. This is what, number 9?
Yeah. He said he was going to do 9.
I thought he was going to do 10.
See, it always changes.
He's going to write movies
the
forever.
The legend of Tarantino.
He's going to do another one. He'll do Pulp Fiction 2 eventually.
Alex, we continue on with badasses because Keanu Reeves in John Wick 3 drops another trailer. We are getting closer and closer, and we will talk about another co-star of his in John Wick, another trailer in which he stars in just a little bit. But in this one, Alex, I think we don't have to be sold anymore.
It's what it is. It's closing off a trilogy.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Mission Impossible trailers at this point where you're like, we know it's going to be a good movie. Mm. but they're not reinventing the wheel. Like, yeah, they might reinvent some of the action scenes, which that's all we really need. Mm-hmm. I think them and Mitch Bob are a perfect example of they're not trying to do too much. They're like, okay, we know what you like. You like solid writing. You like inventive ways of the killing. And you like your main actor. And that's why I'm saying the parallel is so close between those movies.
Yeah.
Of like, I like Keanu Reeves. I love the John Wick backstory. Mm-hmm. I love the background actor, Lauren Fishburne, Halle Berry. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Common's going to be in this movie after what
happened. He has to be. And I think it's just fun. Like, obviously, we see some inventive ways of him killing. We see him riding a horse.
McShay.
Like, it's nothing. Yeah, like, it's nothing crazy. But I don't want crazy. I want the same thing I just got. And it's a very old school way of doing movies where it's like, I don't need you to reinvent yourself. Just do what you did and close the John Wick story so then we can get the show.
I totally agree. And I think we're a John Wick family, so we're super hyped about it. And we don't have to talk up John Wick. You guys know it. But...
Oh, wait. But before we move on...
Bill and Ted got announced.
They announced that they will be coming out in 2020 while Keanu was on it. So Keanu got a Toy Story. He got John Wick. And... Big week. He announced Bill and Ted.
It couldn't happen to a better dude in Hollywood.
It's really 2020. So we can forget that. No trailer, but just a nice little Twitter, nice little Instagram video saying, you know, hey, Bill and Ted Part 3 coming out 2020.
Shout out to them. So I'm good for them. Good for them. That is
like he's
really cool.
Of course Keanu Reeves is the only guy that can pull off a pet project from 20 years ago. Yep. Like everyone else has tried. He's the only one that actually made it happen though.
Alex, we also go a little bit of nostalgia for those of the HBO realm because we got a Deadwood trailer and I really enjoyed it. I'm a huge Deadwood fan. Shout out to our guy Doug Bolin for getting us into it here at Mercado Airwaves. And I know you started getting into it just a little bit, but
it's very gritty, real. Like for those who don't watch because it's a little older, think like it's real Old West.
I will say this about the trailer. It has the benefit of obviously today's day and age technology, so it doesn't look as gritty as it did when HBO first premiered. It's a little prettier. But we're not going to spend too much time on it because it was just a teaser on it. But I highly suggest if you're looking for something to get you over to Game of Thrones.
Three seasons.
And if you're not watching the Case of Adnan Syed or if you're not watching Neverland, which you can see Alex and I's full review. We had early access to the Case of Adnan Syed, and we highly suggest you guys check that out in case you're not going to watch the whole series. But if the very least, if you're looking for something to take up your time on the HBO network, highly suggest Deadwood before its huge movie premiere. But Alex, that is not all that happened in the entertainment world because we are coming off the cusp of a huge premiere that was Captain Marvel. But now, there has probably never been a second time movie for a director that has as much anticipation behind it than we're seeing with Jordan Peele. And that's because in just a few hours, the world will see us, the general public will. It's having great reviews from some of our colleagues around the internet and around the entertainment world. You're going to go see it. You're excited to see it.
I'm going to see it. Getting crazy hype reviews, perfect scores. Yeah. Now, here's what I did here. I hear it's obviously a little more horror than Get Out. Because obviously Get Out was a political message movie, I would say.
Sure.
This one's more of a horror, but I hear it's still... I hear the biggest takeaway from it is that Jordan Peele needs to keep making movies. Because the man is fantastic.
He's an artist.
Like, I hear that no matter what. Like even the littlest critiques, because no movie's perfect. Even people say Godfather 2 is a little too long. There's no perfect movie. It's just not. It's impossible. Because that's our job is to nitpick, if anything. Mm-hmm. You know? But the one thing you do hear is, like, Jordan Peele is a mastermind. And they're like, he's the Alfred Hitchcock of our generation. He does no wrong. You might not love the movie, but you're going to love the directing. You can watch this movie and say, I hated this story. I hated the writing. I hated the characters. But man, that directing is freaking like this man is gonna win a best director in the next 3 years.
There's never been an easier bet right now than Jordan Peele will win a best director.
I would say the next 3 years, So let's say within five.
Sure.
So what, yeah, what are we in? We're in 2019? What are we,
so 2019? By 2025, we'll
say. But before 2025, yeah, he will win an Oscar for Best Director.
And then he has the Twilight Zone coming out on CBS All Access in just 2 weeks. So the man is...
Which, Mike, I'm sorry, Mike. You're going to have to buy CBS All Access. On the, you're going to have to put it on the network, I guess.
I agree. But we're both hyped for us.
Oh, no, it's going to be great. And you know, you'll have our full reviews next week, obviously. And we'll have a secret review. We're not even going to talk about that. No, it's something
Alex,
question
Alex,
mark.
Stop before the government shuts us out, yeah. Alex. Don't tell anybody the secret. All right, Alex, before we get into the main event of this episode, we have a certain news that we have to finally put the stamp on. We can finally bury it. It's another one of our bets slash show topics that started the Good Brothers.
I'll do it. All right, so it's been a year in the making. Mike, out of a million bets on this show, you've lost all of them. You haven't even came close on most of them. You lost the Superman debate. You lost a lot of the movie review debates. You lost the Oscars.
Yeah, get to it.
Hold on, I'm not done yet. You lost last year's bracket. But Mike called it. The deal is final. There is no more court. Nothing. It is official. Disney now owns Fox.
Yep, so they own...
Take your minute round.
Yeah, so basically everything that is in Fox News and Fox Sports, they own. So... Well, Alex, just really fast, what do you think this means for shows like... I think they're going to keep the logo. I think they're going to keep, for the most part...
They are. It's going to be like when Fox had Searchlight. Disney's going to make sure this is like, hey, we own it, but, you know... Like, you don't see a Disney logo before Star Wars.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be one of those things where it's like, well, you know, you don't see a big old... The Disney logo before some of their movies.
You don't see it before Infinity War.
You see the Marvel logo.
Yeah, you see a Marvel logo.
And remember, I know people just like think that they've owned Marvel forever. It's been like 10 years, guys.
Yeah.
And Disney's been around for 80,
yeah,
and 90, almost 100.
Yeah.
At this point, well, like 80. Mm. So it's, to me, it's like, well, yeah, like, yeah, okay, they bought Fox. And yes, we don't want to get too political about, yes, there is a lot of jobs being lost.
4,000 jobs were lost.
There is a lot going on. And, like, obviously, we can get into that on a separate occasion about...
Yeah, maybe one day, yeah. We'll talk about it.
You know, like, we just don't think that's... Obviously, we have our feelings, and it's wrong when people lose jobs.
We're close to it.
But guess what? It's happening, so we have to talk about it in the sense of movies.
Sure.
And in the very simple sense of movies, obviously, they own the Fox characters. They've already announced they won't do anything with those characters till 2021.
At least.
Obviously, the stars of X-Men are upset because they feel like this is burying their movie, which, guess what? It kind of is.
It is. It sucks. It's not.
You know, Sophie Turner definitely came out and was very vocal about the whole, you know, because I think the problem was is that they hired the right actors.
Yeah.
And it was just bad producing, bad writing, bad directing, obviously. So I think I would feel bad, too, if it's like, it wasn't our fault. Same with Fantastic Four. It's like, you hired four of the best young and upcoming actors.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. It was a bad movie and badly cut and badly produced, and decisions were not made right. And it's just interesting. Obviously, I think the only one that's like okay is Deadpool, where they're Disney's not dumb. Disney's like, okay, we're definitely gonna keep Deadpool.
Yeah, that's working.
Like Ryan Reynolds can work no matter what we do.
Yeah.
But we're probably gonna have to change everyone else.
I'm excited to see what they have going. I wonder how much they've known behind the scenes, because you and I know when it comes to business things in this small of a level, let alone and how large of a level there have been up there. They've obviously had plans. They've obviously thought about things. Now, you could get in trouble from collusion and stuff like that, but the deal's done and we move forward. But Alex, we will be on the lookout to see what new rumors we have beyond just superhero movies. We'll see what Disney does with some of these properties, what they decide to put on the Disney Plus or the ESPN app Plus. So I'm interested to see exactly where they do with that, Alex. But I think that's pretty much it for all the news and notes for this week. Alex, what do you think? You got anything left for us?
No, I think we're ready to get to my winning bracket.
All right, let's do it then. It is time for the first round of the 2019 Good Brothers March Madness Pokemon brackets. It is Gen 1. We'll be doing this throughout the next few weeks. We picked 32 Pokemon, in case you missed how we broke this down. 32 Pokemon were picked. We have four regions: the Ash region, the Misty region, the Brock region, and the Oak region. Alex and I have a vote, and then we have a third arbitrary vote that will decide any tiebreakers between
us. Not Nicole.
And it's definitely not Nicole.
She apparently loves Mike and will pick whatever he wants.
Absolutely. Because she knows how things are ran.
So we buried her.
Yeah. All right, Alex, are you ready to do this? We will start off in the Ash region.
Hopefully the first round goes smoothly. We haven't talked about this, Mike. Yeah. So let's see how this goes.
Alex saw this one time before we did it on last week's podcast. But other than that, he's been pretty quiet about it. So you ready to do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Ash region. The number one seed, Mewtwo, versus the 8th seed Primeape. I'll go Mewtwo.
I'm gonna go Mewtwo too. Like Mewtwo's pretty badass. Like I love Primeape too.
Yeah, so do
I. And let's throw back to the old school. I think one of my favorite Pokemon was when they did the boxing ring fighting, the non-Pokemon style. Primate's always doing stupid things, but it's Mewtwo. Come on, Mewtwo.
This bracket's really hard. Like, there's gonna be your nostalgia's gonna be put to the.
Oh no, yeah, and like obviously, if Primate was going against anyone else, maybe, but it's Mewtwo. You're going Mewtwo. Mewtwo's a heavy favorite going down this road.
All right, how about the 4 seed Onix versus the 5 seed Psyduck? Who you go with?
Onix.
I'll go Onix too.
Yeah, he looks cool. Yeah, he's like the first badass Pokemon we see in the show.
But I love Psyduck.
Psyduck's fine. Psyduck annoyed me a little bit sometimes. Because I was like, you got all that power. Yeah. You're not going to be dope, though. Like, they didn't even like. Missy didn't even like Psyduck.
This is a hard one. The number 3 seed Scyther versus the 6 seed Vulpix.
It's Vulpix.
I'll go Scyther.
You go Scyther? Yeah. Really?
All right. So I love Vulpix, but I
Scyther. Vulpix, I think, looks cuter.
Yeah.
His evolution is better. And he was an actual Pokemon in the season 1 of Brock.
You know what? You changed my mind. I'll go Vulpix.
You're gonna confide?
I'll go over.
And I do love Scyther, but I think Scyther really didn't hit his stride till season 2, and we're doing season 1 more.
Hey, you know what? Before we make official, I'll make Scyther. It over right now. You can switch your pick before we do.
Well, because this is obviously for the network. Yeah. We're going to have our own brackets, but I can fight a mic. Point for Alex.
All right. So, Growlithe in the 2 seed versus the 7 seed. Meow.
Okay, you know Growlithe's one of my heavy lower seed favorites, so Growlithe.
Growlithe's a 2 seed, so he's not. Because
not only Growlithe's a dope police dog. Yeah. And is a fire dog, and it's a dog.
I'll give you the matchups when we finish up for the next round in next week's episode. But you're gonna have a heart attack on what Growlithe has to go through. How about we go down to the Misty region, Alex?
Ooh, Misty sucks. She's the worst.
The number 1 seed Squirtle versus the 8 seed Lapras.
Mike, just write it down already.
All right, so Squirtle moves on into the next round.
Squirtle's winning the whole thing.
The 4 seed Snorlax versus the 5 seed Machamp. Machamp versus Snorlax.
I'm torn because my inner sleeper wants to pick Snorlax, but obviously my inner muscle man wants to be Machamp, but it's going to be Snorlax.
Just for fun, I'm going to go Machamp. You ready to
go? Machamp, see what we're going to do?
So we have the 4
This will tour me. Yeah. So this is a Hail Mary because they both got their positives.
All right, let's go to the arbitrary of this bracket selection when Alex and I are at a standstill. The 4 seed Snorlax versus the 5 seed Machamp. Moving on
Buzzer beater.
Snorlax moves on to the next round. Alex, congratulations. I am happy for you.
I love Snorlax. He was such a big part of the game and the show. And he's all, and like, obviously, he's one of the most powerful Pokemon.
Yeah, I love both of them.
He's in Detective Pikachu. Yeah, sure. Well, they're in the same scene. This was just funny. Machamp and him.
Yeah.
They're in the same, one's a crossing guard and one's just sleeping.
People love those two Pokemon.
And obviously, I would love to pick the Muscle Man. I'll wait till it's the forearm Muscle Man.
Machamp was the forearm one.
Okay, no, I'll wait till it's a 2-arm one. That's the one I want. I want the non-mutated Goro one.
Okay, sure. I like the Goro version of him. All right, Alex, how about this? The number 3 seed Butterfree versus the 6 seed Poliwrath.
I like Poliwrath.
I like Poliwrath too,
Butterfree's kind of like lame.
I am a sucker for the animated series, so I'll go Butterfree and we will
Poliwrath.
So we are split in half, and Alex,
Poliwrath's all buff, like a fist, and like he makes no sense like logically, but I love it.
But according to our third voter, Butterfree moves on in that round.
It's a point for Mike.
There you go. How about this to finish off the Misty region? Number 2, Gastly versus number 7, Electabuzz. I'm going to go Gastly.
I'm a Haunter fan, so I'm going to go Electabuzz.
Interesting. So you go against the lower evolution.
Yeah, because I'm not a Gastly fan. Gastly looks stupid, I feel like, and he's not fun.
Interesting. So if this was Haunter, Haunter would have got it.
Gastly don't get it. I like Electabuzz because he's just like a big old primate. Like,
I'm going to go Gastly. You want Electabuzz, according Third to party. Arbitrator. Gastly moves on.
Boo, Gastly, boo. Haunter's better, so is Gengar.
Yeah, I love his
evolution. He's the worst one.
Yeah, Alpha 3, perhaps.
Yeah.
All right, Alex.
Boo. All right, so we're about tied for points. So we're about 2-2 at the moment if we're counting this. Yeah.
Okay, Alex, we move on to the Brock region. We have the number 1 seed Charizard versus the number 8 seed Dragonite. I'm going to go Charizard.
You know what? I really wanted to mess with you and just make it go to a third party so Charizard could get upset. But that's kind of bogus because this is we're professionals.
Sure, on this one.
So I'm going to – you know what? If you would have put Gyarados there or something, maybe. But I don't like Dragonite. I think it's kind of a pansy.
Sure.
You know what? Not to mess with Mike, I'm going to go Charizard because that's the logical, better pick. I was going to pick it just to go to third party and maybe get a Hail Mary, but I'm not going to do that to Bracken because that's not fun. That's not cool.
I just don't think the Dragonite character comparative to Charizard or Gyarados or like that level.
Like a Gyarados, maybe.
Gyarados would have given a run.
Like that's a cool Dragonite.
But Gyarados has a three seed, so Gyarados is a respectable.
Yeah, Dragonite's kind of one of those that like it should have been a lot cooler than it was, but they just never did anything with it.
I like this matchup. The number 4 seed Eevee versus the number 5 seed Cubone. Keep on down.
I gotta go Eevee. Eevee's got so much upside. Eevee's cute.
I go Eevee too.
That's one of Nicole's favorites, you know. Shout out to Nicole, even though we buried her.
How about the number 3 seed Pidgeot versus the number 6 seed Mankey?
Mankey.
I go Pidgeot.
You know what? I like Pidgeotto better. I think Pidgeotto had better story. Because once he becomes Pidgeot, he basically leaves.
Well, according to the third voter, Alex, Mankey beats Pidgeot in an upset.
Monkey's rule. Planet of the Apes.
And into the 2 seed, Bulbasaur against the number 7 seed, Ponyta.
Bulbasaur. Ponyta, you know what? It was a lot closer than I thought it would have been.
I did that on purpose.
Because, again, the race, the race episode is classic.
And just design.
But I like Rapidash better.
Yeah, Rapidash is pretty good.
Because he starts turning into more of like a fire horse than just kind of a horse on fire.
Definitely.
If that makes sense. But you got to go the gen. You got to go Bulbasaur on that.
All right, Alex.
Which I think it's funny that Squirtle and Bulbasaur made it, but Charizard was the one that made it for because I'm a Charmander fan more. And a Charmeleon fan.
See, I love Charmander. I think Charmeleon is the most underrated of the...
of all nine?
But here's the thing. I love Wartortle, too.
I did the Medal of All. Ivysaur's dope, too.
Let's just call it a spade a spade. The original nine are all just
are all sick. Like, when you look at them, like, Charmander, Charmeleon, Charizard.
Because there's some generations that, as the years went on, just kind of fell flat until you got
I
stage.
Think after three. Like, that, and that's where we'll kind of stop eventually, I think, one day.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if we do Pokemon Brackets, it'll probably stop at Gen 3 where we know it.
And if Detective Pikachu smashes like people think it is, and they build that universe, we'll definitely do another generation. But, Alex, we move to the final region, the final selections of this week's portion of the bracket. How about the number 1 seed in the Oak region, Pikachu, versus the 8 seed, Koffing? Pikachu.
Yeah, Koffing's kind of lame.
Yeah, but I think...
I like Weezing better.
Weezing is cool. Just Weezing. Because, yeah. How about the number 4
seed... I'm not even a Pikachu fan either.
I love Pikachu.
I'm not a Pikachu fan. I'm a Raichu fan. I think he should have evolved already.
I like Raichu, but you know what? I being such a Gen 1-er and having watched...
Is it Detective Pikachu?
No.
Then I don't like it. You can't talk. I don't care.
How about the 4 seed Magmar versus the 5 seed Abra?
Magmar. Because Magmar whooped Charizard's ass for a little bit. Yeah,
but I do love Abra.
Isn't that funny? That could lead to a rematch of Magmar versus Charizard.
It could happen in the Final Four. We'll talk about the potential matchups. How about the number 3 seed Gyarados versus the 6 seed Tauros?
We gotta go Gyarados because we already hyped him up so much.
But you know what?
Tauros is cool.
That's one of those that, like, against almost any other seed.
Tauros looks cool.
Yeah, okay.
But they don't do enough with Tauros in the show to make you really like him. All they ever say is, well, he caught, like, 7 of Smartizone.
Yeah.
And he has a bunch at home.
Yeah.
But they never do anything with them. And I thought that sucks because we're both Tauros. And I have a bull tattoo.
Yeah, right.
I would love to pick it, but it's like they don't do anything with him.
All right, Alex, you ready for the last one of this week? Yeah. The number 2 seed, Sandshrew, versus the 7 seed, Rhydon. Sandshrew.
Yeah, I'll go Sandshrew.
All right.
He can swim. I'm assuming it's one from the show that can swim and vulnerable, apparently. It makes Pikachu. He lifts weights and does curls, and I like that.
All right, Alex, you ready to hear what next week's matchups will be?
Yeah, let's give us a little preview.
How about in the Ash region? We will have the number 1 seed Mewtwo take on the number 4 seed Onix.
Okay.
In the next matchup, it will be Vulpix versus Growlithe.
Okay.
2-6.
Okay, give me a week.
Moving into the Misty region, we will have Squirtle
in
the 1 seed against the 4 seed, Snorlax.
Oh, that's going to break my heart.
In the 3rd seed, Butterfree taking on the 2 seed, Gastly.
I'm pissed both of them are still there. Those are both your two.
Moving into the Brock region, the number 1 seed, Charizard, takes on the 4 seed, Eevee.
Okay.
In the 6th seed of Mankey versus the 2nd seed, Bulbasaur.
Okay, it's quite a little game there.
And finishing off in the Oak region, we will have Pikachu versus Magmar in a 1-4 matchup. And to finish off that round, we will have the 3 seed Gyarados take on the 2 seed, Santru. Let us know if you guys
there'll
like
be
our
some
selections.
Upsets, I think. Or we're gonna there's gonna be a couple buzzer beaters. We're gonna have to go to a third party a lot next week, I feel
it's
like.
It's gonna be fun.
Like
it's
that third party better be ready, because I already have the feeling I'm like, me and Mike are not going to agree on a lot of these.
What I'm noticing, too, is a lot of these Pokemon were on our parties growing up, too, but a lot of our starting six.
Yeah,
so,
of course
they were. It's just funny how that
is. Duh, Red Gyarados.
Yeah. So, guys, let us know exactly. Shiny Red Gyarados, sir. Let us know exactly if you hated our picks, loved our picks, who would move on, and what do you think is going to happen.
You do a better job then.
Yes.
You do it.
You do a show, damn it. Alex, this was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed kind of breaking down the first round of the bracket. What did you think moving forward?
No, it's fun. It's having fun. Obviously, we want to make sure it's clear. It's like, not, obviously, yes, a Charizard will kill an Eevee in the game and in the show, but we're doing more like their cuteness, their memories. Maybe you do, maybe like with Eevee, you like this one better, or maybe with Charizard, like us, you're like, I kind of like Charmander better. So that's going to count as negative and positive. So I think that's what it comes down to. Like, don't just think, well, this big thing versus little thing. Think of it as more as, what stuffed animal do you want? Or what's your better memory? Like, there's plenty of fields. And if you want to say, well, Charger's the baddest, well, that's your opinion. That's a plus for him. Or you want to be like, well, Eevee's adorable. Like, you can buy a plushie of Eevee, and they sell it everywhere. It's very popular next to Pikachu. That's a positive for Eevee then. So that's the way you have to look at it, just like in these basketball games where, you know, the rankings really at the end of the day are just rankings.
Yeah, it's just
like
part of it.
Like, we might go down to it and have no number one seeds. Mm-hmm. For all we know. You never know. Yeah, so.
That was a lot of fun, Alex. I can't wait. But that'll do it for us on this episode of The Good Brothers. You got any last thoughts, Good Brother?
Last thoughts.
My man. Go ahead and enjoy us
this
weekend. Enjoy all the tournament games. Make sure you guys are keeping with us on the network. Up-to-date sports talk. We'll be breaking down any breaking news in the pop culture and entertainment world. And Nicole will try to keep us in check, or at least Alex in check, in the next episode of Murder, Mysteries, and More. But that'll do it for us, for the good brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Yee.
I'm Mike Mercado. We'll see you in the next episode of The Good Brothers. Enjoy the games.
Thanks for joining us here on The Good Brothers, here on Mercado Airwaves. Enjoy our shows? Follow the Mercado Airwaves crew all over social media. Like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. On Instagram, Nicole is at Typing When Tipsy. Alex is at Mercado 2121. Mike is at Mike Mercado 2333. And our true crime show is at Murder Mysteries and More. And on Twitter, Nicole is at Typing When Tipsy. Alex is at Mercado 21 Alex. And Mike is at M Mercado 2333. You can follow the network at Mercado Airwaves. Follow our pop culture show on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Get us on the go by downloading our programs anywhere you get your favorite podcast, like iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean, Stitcher, and other popular sites. Just search us at Mercado Airwaves. While you're at it, please like, rate, review, and share us with your friends. Visit us on youtube.com/MikeMercado2333. Click the subscribe and like button to get notified every time a new episode or interview is posted. Support Mercado Airwaves by visiting patreon.com/MercadoAirwaves, the home of our interviews with athletes and celebrities, which you can get ad-free and early before it's released to the public. Come play video games with us on Twitch, twitch.tv/MercadoAirwavesNetwork. Mercado Airwaves is powered by Munch Art Design. Like them on Facebook at Munch Art Design. Voiceover work on Mercado Airwaves is performed by Josh Fox. Enjoy our shows? Follow the Mercado Airwaves crew all over social media. Like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. On Instagram, Nicole is at Typing When Tipsy. Alex is at Mercado 2121. Mike is at Mike Mercado 2333. And our true crime show is at Murder Mysteries and More. And on Twitter, Nicole is at Typing When Tipsy. Alex is at Mercado 21 Alex. And Mike is at M Mercado 2333. You can follow the network at Mercado Airwaves. Follow our pop culture show on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Get us on the go by downloading our programs anywhere you get your favorite podcast, like iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean, Stitcher, and other popular sites. Just search us at Mercado Airwaves. While you're at it, please like, rate, review, and share us with your friends. Visit us on youtube.com/MikeMercado2333. Click the subscribe and like button to get notified every time a new episode or interview is posted. Support Mercado Airwaves by visiting patreon.com/MercadoAirwaves, the home of our interviews with athletes and celebrities, which you can get ad-free and early before it's released. released to the public. Come play video games with us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. Mercado Airwaves is powered by Munch Art Design. Like them on Facebook at Munch Art Design. Voiceover work on Mercado Airwaves is performed by Josh Fox.
What's up, friends? Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. If you missed any one of our past interviews with amazing guests like future Hall of Famer and pound-for-pound best fighter in the world, UFC flyweight champion Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson.
It's another day at the office. I get to go out there and test my skill.
To award-winning producer, director, and actor Orlando Jones.
Orlando, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, sir. I'm good, brother. How you doing?
And all the other interesting guests we've had on.
Joining us today is director and writer David Ferrier.
Thanks so much, brother. I appreciate you having me on the show.
MMA legend Chael Sonnen joins us today.
Keep listening to your show. This is great. Thanks, my friend.
Just subscribe to us on iTunes at Mercado Airwaves. And while you're there, please like, review, and rate us, friends. It helps so much. We also have a Patreon for anyone who would like to support the show. Just visit us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves and see how you can get all of our interviews ad-free and before anyone else, and how you can get your business or company spotlighted on the show. Follow us on Twitter at mmercado2333. Like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/MikeMercado2333. And if you would like to see what we're up to behind the scenes, follow us on Instagram, MikeMercado2333. Thanks for listening and all the support.